This is the English service of Ukrainian radio.
This is the English service of Ukrainian radio. Next in line is the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
As Russia is gearing up for the presidential elections on March 18th, Ukraine questions the legitimacy of the voting process and its outcome. Declaring the future elections procedure in the Crimean Peninsula illegal, the Ukrainian leadership has called on its Western partners to do the same in multiple statements and addresses. Thus, meeting with the ambassadors of G7 countries in Kyiv on Wednesday, President Poroshenko has prevented partner countries from sending observers on their behalf to monitor the election in Crimea, underlining the importance of one-voice policy on Crimea election. High Representative of the European Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy Federica Mogherini had come to Ukraine for a working visit just a few days before the fourth anniversary of the illegal annexation of Crimea and Sevastopol by the Russian Federation. Mogherini said that the European Union's position on Russia remained unchanged, noting the importance of fully implementing the Minsk agreements and ending the illegal annexation of Crimea.
We do not recognize the annexation. We will continue in our implementation of the non-recognition policy of the annexation, and we continue to condemn this violation of international law. We do not recognize the so-called elections there, and we remain committed to fully implementing our non-recognition policy, as I said, including through sanctions.
Said EU High Representative Federica Mogherini, communicating the firm stance of the Union on supporting Ukraine. On Friday, on the anniversary of the imposed referendum which led to the illegal annexation of the peninsula, First Deputy Minister of Information Policy Amina Japarova commented.
Окупувавши Крим, Російська Федерація порушила 407 міжнародних та двосторонніх договорів з Україною, в тому числі Європейський меморандум.
Russia's occupation of Crimea meant its violation of 407 international and bilateral agreements with Ukraine, including the Budapest Memorandum. The transition did not happen overnight, as during 2014 through 2016, Russia adopted about 600 legislative and regulative acts in order to integrate Crimea into the Russian Federation's legal field. Fortunately, the world is unanimous in the non-recognition of the annexation, while the so-called referendum of March 16th did not change the status of the peninsula as Ukrainian territory for the international community. This has continuously and officially been voted for and reinstated by the majority of representatives of other countries, said Amina Japarova. Meanwhile, representatives of the Crimean Tatar self-governing body Mejlis and Crimean Tatar activists have met with EU ambassadors in Kyiv on Tuesday, discussing the protection of human rights in the occupied Crimea and the creation of a full-fledged Crimean Tatar autonomy. Commenting on the matter, Chairman of the Mejlis of the Crimean Tatar people and member of Ukrainian Parliament Rafat Chubarov said, "We've presented the principles that, being shaped into law, will determine the life in the occupied Crimea. Of course, those principles focus on the Crimean Tatars' rights to self-determination," said Rafat Chubarov. Earlier, the Mejlis leaders had informed that, ahead of the presidential election in Russia, agitators for the regime were trying to provide higher presidential turnout in Crimea, while putting the local population under tremendous pressure. According to Chubarov, even students and pupils were involved in this, being demanded to provide the turnout of their parents in the election. The Crimean Tatar community, for their part, have also been one of the target groups, as agitators, according to him, wanted to demonstrate that Crimean Tatars, having neglected the so-called referendum back in 2014, had changed their minds concerning Russia.
You're listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
The situation in the war zone in eastern Ukraine has relatively improved over the past week. Generally, recommitment to ceasing fire within the so-called spring truce, established by the Trilateral Contact Group on Conflict Settlement at midnight on March 5th, has been sporadically observed. The dynamics of enemy strikes in the affected areas and the respective number of casualties among Ukrainian servicemen have been quite tangible in the beginning and decreased by the end of the week. The enemy's use of weapons that are prescribed by Minsk has also been recorded by the Ukrainian side. Remarkably, in the first part of the day on Thursday, the Defense Ministry's press service recorded complete truce observance, yet in the afternoon it had been breached with a mortar shelling by Russia-backed militants in vicinity of Donetsk. Alexander Hug, the OSCE Special Monitoring Mission's Principal Deputy Chief Monitor, explained the sharp edges of the current situation regardless of large-scale truce observance, namely the recent attacks upon the workers of Donetsk Water Filtration Station from the separatist side, which jeopardize people's essential living conditions.
These attacks not only threaten the lives of brave men and women working at the Donetsk Filtration Station, they threaten the station itself, upon which an estimated 400,000 people on both sides of the contact line depend for clean drinking water.
This was Alexander Hug at his briefing in Kyiv on Friday, noting nevertheless a significant decrease of hostilities that the Donbas zone counteraction has lastly displayed. He also yet again remarked the negative effect of the proximity of the sides in the conflict in relation to human factors.
In Stanitsa Luhanska, for example, there is less than 300 meters separating the sides. The sides can literally see one another. They are within small arms weapons range. The least provocation can escalate out of control. A gesture, a flag, or a shouted remark can lead to a round of fire in anger, followed by a retaliatory fire, leading possibly to the use of available heavy weapons.
Alexander Hug. Following the Trilateral Contact Group meeting in Minsk on Wednesday, OSCE Chairperson in Office Martin Zajdek had also confirmed the reassuring dynamics in Ukraine's east. Recently, it has become possible to significantly reduce the average number of ceasefire violations to one of the lowest levels over the past 2 years, reads his press statement. The number of victims among civilians has also decreased substantially compared to the corresponding period in the previous year, according to him. This clearly demonstrates that with the political will, numerous achievements can be accomplished, he said.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
Ukraine's Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin hopes that the shocking use of a banned chemical weapon in the assassination attempt at the former Russian Security Service agent in Salisbury serves as a wake-up call for the Western states. Noting that Ukraine joins the UK and allies in pressing for the strongest response from the rules-based community, Klimkin stressed that the Kremlin does not respect international borders or rules, and there are no limits to which they will not go to further their own interests if they think they can get away with it. He added, "In Ukraine we understand this better than most. We have had the Crimean Peninsula illegally occupied by Russia for over 4 years now. And shortly after annexing Crimea, Russia also invaded the Donbas, where its support for its proxies has cost the lives of over 10,000 Ukrainians, left 25,000 wounded, and driven 1.8 million from their homes. Boycotting this summer's FIFA World Cup finals to be hosted by Russia is among measures the international community could take, according to Klimkin. The free world must stand very strong and act in a very decisive way to make it clear to Russia that the type of terrorist criminality they practice will no longer be tolerated. This must be done before it is too late," Ukraine's top diplomat concluded. As it was reported earlier, the UN Security Council held an emergency meeting on Wednesday over the suspected poisoning of a former Russian spy, Sergei Skripal, and his daughter. Both remain in critical condition after being allegedly exposed to a nerve agent in Salisbury on the 4th of March. The UK holds Russia responsible, saying that the nerve agent known as Novichok was developed by the Russian military. British Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Julian Braithwaite, said at Wednesday's emergency meeting of the Security Council that Russia was involved in the poisoning, thereby violating Article 2 of the UN Charter.
The Council and the United Nations General Assembly have decried Russia's violations of international law with alarming regularity. Its reckless behaviour is an affront to all that this body stands for. In Syria, the Council has repeatedly addressed violations carried out or backed by Russia, resulting in thousands of deaths and untold human suffering. In Crimea, Russia's illegal annexation has given rise to a catalogue of violations, including enforced disappearances and arbitrary arrests. And Russian support for illegal armed groups in eastern Ukraine has been responsible for thousands of deaths. Russia's continued undermining of Georgia's territorial integrity and refusal to allow monitoring stands in violation of UN resolutions. On the 4th of March, a military-grade nerve agent, a type developed by Russia, was used on the streets of the United Kingdom, seemingly in an attempt to kill Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia. My government has concluded that it is highly likely that Russia was responsible.
Julian Braithwaite. Presenting the UK case to the UN Security Council, Britain's Deputy Permanent Representative, Jonathan Allen, said Russia was in serious breach of the Chemical Weapons Convention through its failure to declare the Novichok program. Britain was braced for a showdown with Russia on Wednesday after a midnight deadline set by Prime Minister Theresa May expired without an explanation from Moscow about how a Soviet-era nerve toxin was used to strike down a former Russian double agent. Jonathan Allen told the Security Council that there were two plausible explanations. Either it was a direct attack on his country by Russia, or Russia had lost control of a military-grade nerve agent which they had developed. He also said Russia either did not care that the weapon used would be traced back to them, or mistakenly believed they could cover their traces. The United States and European nations are calling for help from the organization to investigate the incident.
You're listening to the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukraine marked the Volunteer Day on the 14th of March, honoring the warriors who joined the Ukrainian military on will and defended the country in conditions of the ongoing Russian military aggression. The Parliament passed the respective document in January 2017. The Volunteer Battalions are military, police and paramilitary formations that were formed from volunteers in response to the Russian military intervention in Ukraine in spring and summer 2014. In January 2017, Ukraine's Defense Minister Stepan Poltorak stated that 40,000 volunteers were fighting for Ukraine in the Donbas conflict. 232 volunteers have died since the beginning of the Donbas conflict in Ukraine. This was reported by Ukraine's internal minister Arsen Avakov. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko addressed the nation on this occasion. Today we remember the Ukrainian patriots who, since the beginning of the events in the east of Ukraine, volunteered to defend the state from the Russian aggressor, having no military background. I thank all volunteer fighters who, having acquired invaluable combat experience, joined the ranks of the Ukrainian Armed Forces, the National Guard and the National Police, or take an active position in civil life. I thank all who have chosen an honorable theme to defend their homeland, Petro Poroshenko wrote on Facebook. A number of events commemorating the memory of the deceased volunteer warriors took place all over Ukraine. On this day, Taras Kostanchuk, head of the All-Ukraine Union of the Military, who took part or are still participating in the military operation in Donbas, presented an ethnographic project dedicated to the Ukrainian military defending this country from the Russian aggression.
Пам'ять про наших патріотів, які загинули, захищаючи рідну землю. Ініціативна група воїнів-учасників АТО.
In order to commemorate our patriots who died protecting Ukraine from the Russian aggression, Veterans of the Donbas War initiated a historical and ethnographic project that would include a horse ride to the Kalka River, the place that witnessed a historical battle between the Kiev Rus, a historical predecessor of Ukraine, and the Mongol-Tatar army in 1223. We can draw a parallel between those events and the present-day offensive of Russia against Ukraine, said Taras Kostanchuk.
And with that we end the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukrainian Radio, English Service.